This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This is Kelly and Company on AMI Audio. Thanks for joining us. And want to shout out a resource for you on AMI.ca. It's our DV guide, where you can find described video content and narrow down your search by simply putting in your postal code and finding or getting access to all list of programs across all stations in Canada available with described video. I really love this resource. I think it's a great way to check out your content with that accessibility feature. So again, that's AMI.ca/DV guide. It's time for us to talk sports, and we do this once a week with the host of The Neutral Zone, also an AMI original show, Brock Richardson.
As a former athlete, I eat, sleep, and breathe everything sports. I'm Brock Richardson. Join me every Monday for your weekly sports highlights and our take on the weekend action.
Brocky, a lot of things to get into today with our sports update, and there was something particular that Danielle was hoping that you would chat about, and I believe you brought it to the table. So why don't we start with your leadoff items?
I can imagine Danielle would be interested in chatting about the thing that I have added to the leadoff item, because it is a developing story as we go. Now, to give the audience a little bit of background on Novak Djokovic. Novak Djokovic has been in the media for quite a bit of time since the pandemic. He was the man behind the having celebrity events with no masks, no vaccinations, etc. Then he got everyone sick, and it was just a big mess. Having said that, he's back in the news. We have the Australian Open ready to commence next week, and Novak Djokovic's visa was initially denied because he had asked for an exemption, for a medical exemption, because he was unvaccinated. And his reasoning for this quote-unquote medical exemption was such that because he had COVID not too long ago, so he was unable to get the vaccine, which we know is kind of a little suspect, but that's neither here nor there. Then he had a appeal set for Monday, which is today, and the appeal was overturned by a judge because they said, quote, this was a wrongful reason to uphold a visa. And what we now know is the head of immigration still has the power to take away his visa if he feels that Novak Djokovic is at risk to the public and or the event themselves. So there's a lot going on here. This has never been used before from the immigration point of view. But Danielle, since you wanted me to bring this one up, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I'm just watching aghast, to be honest, although I have heard people refer to him as Novak Djokovic, and I think that may be more to the point. The country has laws that say people who aren't vaccinated can't come in. I don't think that you can or you should be able to get an exemption because you're a famous person. A famous person can spread a disease just as well as a not famous person can spread a disease. Right. And, and the fact that he's had COVID doesn't mean he shouldn't get a vaccination. In fact, people I know, quite a few who've experienced COVID, are still out there hunting for their vaccines because they know you can get it again, and it doesn't mean you can't spread it. Even if you're not suffering from it, you can still spread it. So I'm very curious to see what the court decides, whether they're going to decide to deport him, which is one possibility, or whether he'll leave all by himself, or they'll make a special exemption. It's going to be interesting, Brocky.
Yes, absolutely. And so far, what we know is that the court has granted him that visa. He was back on the court late last night in Australian time, and the head of immigration said in the media, oh, no, but wait, I have power that I could remove this visa once again. And like I said before, this has never been used before. So we'll see whether the immigration decides to use their power or if they leave it in the hands of the court, where the court has said this is a wrongful reason to not let him have a visa. I, for one, personally believe that the top line of this event is all participants must be vaccinated. And last time I checked, all participants includes Novak Djokovic. So I'm unsure as to if there was a legitimate, like, actual exemption that he was requiring for, I wouldn't have as much of an issue. The problem is the legitimate argument he's making is because I've had COVID before. And as Danielle mentioned to me, that's not really a good reason, Ramya.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know what special case scenario would qualify for them to not include him in, you know, all people, all players must be vaccinated. So I'm really curious about what will happen from this point forward. But really influential, I got to say, because, you know, we've seen the way that so many influencers, politicians, celebrities, entertainers, all kinds of people, athletes have made their point and been, you know, creating these ripple effects for good or for bad and during COVID. So we'll see because this one's another big one that's been taking the headlines. So what else do you have for us for our leadoff, Rocky?
He's also been one of these individuals who's tried to make a stand in hosting celebrity tournament events with no masks and such, and that seems to have bit him in the rear as well. So he's not making the best of stands or the best pleads when you think of medical exemption, but it's going to be an ongoing story. I would not be surprised if, unfortunately, we do see him play in the tournament. The exemption for the immigration individual, the head of immigration, it's never been used. So whether they want to use this as an example, which I believe they should, remains to be seen. But it's a developing story. And the event gets going next Monday, which is the 17th of January. So keep your eyes open for that.
Okay.
And I will definitely have a leadoff item next week, probably, as to whether he is in fact playing or is not. My second leadoff item is one that we have not talked about since I've been on here last, and we now know that the NHL athletes will not be going to Beijing due to various teams having to cancel games. The NHL is up to 70 and counting games that they have had to cancel, either due to restrictions of crowd or the spread of the Omicron itself. So not very good news in that regard.
Well, canceling 70 plus games, that's a whole lot of games. And had these athletes gone to the Olympics, there would have been a 2-week shutdown of the NHL. So now that they're not going, do you think 2 weeks is enough time to make up to the lost time? Is that enough space for them?
Not even close, especially because we're adding games more and more. And there's been a lot of talk over games being postponed because of the restrictions, and obviously leagues lose money when there's no fans in the crowd, and so they're postponing games both due to the virus and also due to restrictions, particularly in Canada, and it's just not going to work. I would suspect that we're going to be up in the neighborhood of 100 games plus by the time this is done, and there's no way that 2 weeks is enough time to make up 100 games overall. I just don't see it happening. So I think what you're going to have to see is have the season extended to make up for lost time here.
The World Junior Hockey Championships was canceled as well after just 3 days of competition, where 8 individuals tested positive for COVID. So this was a disappointment, but there's something that you wanted to highlight that the president of the International Ice Hockey Federation said.
Yes. So when this event was canceled on the 28th of December, there was a lot of criticism that the president has taken because he canceled the under-18 women's tournament and let the World Juniors begin. Now, I want to bring you back that last year's World Championship for the women did run, albeit it was later because it was shut down, but he did manage to get that in. But the quote that he said was, I will take the criticism for any of these events that have been canceled, but I would prefer to be judged at the end of the story rather than in the middle. Give me a month and I will have a solution for all of these events. And I think that's a very powerful statement. I think nobody really knows what's going on with COVID-19, specifically Omicron, and you need to give him that opportunity to say, listen, give me a chance. Let me have another month. I will try to reschedule this to the best of my ability, but I don't want to be judged until the end of the story. And I think he's right. If he's going to be judged, judge him at the end, not in the middle. And right now we're in the middle.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're always in the middle, it seems, with COVID.
True.
Brock, something has you a bit befuddled when it comes to some of the restrictions placed around the province of Ontario. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yes. So what has me befuddled is that we are limited to 1,000 people in every game in Ontario and parts of Canada as well. Now, most of that 1,000 people is reduced to game operation individuals, so there are no paying customers to the event. Now, I support this 100%. Where I get a little bit confused, or in Danielle's words, befuddled, is we're limiting testing. We're not doing as much testing as we can. We're not contact tracing schools or people when they have COVID. Where I get confused is if we're doing that and saying we're not doing this, then why can we not go to 50% of a venue, much like the malls are at 50%. If the malls are able to be at 50%, then why can't sporting events? Now, since I have written this out, I do have an additional thought, and I'm curious on both of you on this one. This could be very much a case of, if you are in an arena and you're 50% full, what are you most doing at a hockey arena that you may not necessarily be doing at a mall? You're eating, you're drinking, you're laughing, all those things. And to do those things, you must have your mask off. So to me, that could be part of it. But I just think with the limiting of testing and things like that, I'm a little bit confused as to, like, okay, there's a bit of mixed messaging going on here, Ramya.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I wonder why exactly that is. But I really do think, you know, we're not going to get to the bottom of it, quote. It'll just be that the things that have the most influence will, or, you know, a particular kind of influence will continue to be run a certain way, even if that's different from almost everything else that's being run in Ontario. You know, you can see where, like, special circumstances are being given to certain things, and not everyone is happy about that kind of stuff. And we're wondering, like, exactly how are those decisions being made? But I wonder, like, why is sports, or, you know, venues of this kind of magnitude, or you know, concert venues and things like that, why is it that we're not following the same protocols? And then everything that happens around those operations.
Very good question. I actually don't think that logic is what people are using in order to make these decisions.
No.
I think they're making it on economic grounds solely.
Absolutely.
It's pretty worrying, because if you think, oh, you can't go to school where you're in a class of 20, but you can sit there with thousands of other people in an arena. No, I don't think that's a good idea.
Let me also be very clear and say that whether it's 1,000 or whether it's 50%, I am not going to a sporting event.
But I'll join you. We won't go together.
For me, I just think there's that level of people in the public that are like, what is going on here? We have a little bit of mixed messaging going on, but I, for one, am not going, whether it's 1,000, whether it's 5,000. I'm not having it right now. I'm just getting over a cold myself, and it's just too risky, all in all. But I think there is some confusion overall.
There's confusion.
Some understanding.
And there will always be people who do go as long as the option is there. And if the option's there, then you know people are going to go. Brocky, thank you so much. We'll wrap it there and we'll chat with you next week.
After the break, we're going to check in with Alex Smythe, our reporter in Toronto, to check out what's coming up on tonight's episode of AMI This Week.
You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.